Anyway, we're live now.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, we are.
Hello, Internet?
Yes.
Hello, Internet!
We're,
Brita is having technical difficulties, but hopefully she will join us soon.
Yep. That would be nice.
Says she's online. Oh, jump on it, jump on it!
I'm jumping.
Quick! Before she disappears.
Grab her, catch her, quick. There she is.
Is it working?
Yes, it is.
Yay!
Awesome. I have to reboot my phone.
Weird.
I hate Skype. That's
what?
Skype on the iPhone.
Hi, weird.
I can't believe you reboot.
Oh, Brita, I needed to tell you this. So little weirda got a bath this evening, and she actually took it well.
I didn't hear the whole first part of that sentence. I'm sorry.
Oh, she got a bath.
Okay.
Washed the poopies off of her.
Did you like just hold her under the sink with
No. She was more or less clean and just got a little extra scrubbing. But I had to share with you because the hilarity is her bathtub is a large litter box.
No.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yep, it's pretty funny.
Why?
That's just something my wife picked up, and it works.
Oh,
beautifully.
My lord!
We've got this little like. I guess it was designed for this. It's like a little like chaise lounge lawn chair. And you put it in the bathtub. It's all like mesh. You put it in the bathtub and so the baby can lay down in the bath.
Oh my god.
And we put her in a little lounge chair in a cat box.
Nice.
Oh my god.
Give her a good scrub.
I hope you're getting pictures.
I got pictures of the first one where she is screaming her fucking head off, and that will only be revealed when boys start coming into the house.
Good. Behave yourself or else.
Oh, no.
You're just going to show
You can't them. Behave yourself and make it better.
He's going to frame them and hang them over the couch.
You've been framed.
Yep. I put pictures up on the blog, too. Some fresh ones.
Is this on the air?
Yes, we're live.
Oh, hello, everyone.
Yay.
I'm really tired.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, by the way, it's my fault that the TSA agent got shot.
Why is it your fault?
I don't know. Josh Horowitz of the Communists Against Gun Violence said.
That's ironic. Communists Against Gun Violence. I don't see the connection.
I don't either, but I just like saw a link pop up on my blog and I went, the fuck is this? And it wasn't like a direct link to the Huffington Post, but then it led to the Huffington Post and there he was calling me out by name for the fact that I called TSA agents dirty perverts because they are. But of course, you know, us horrible Second Amendment people, you know, believing also that the Fourth Amendment and First Amendment and all the other amendments also apply.
Yeah, those don't matter.
Well, you know, the Second Amendment people have a long history of just being psychotic, mass murdering, you know.
Sure do.
Yeah.
That includes this gentleman from New Jersey who moved to California.
Right.
Sounds just like a Tea Party member.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, and that's the thing, you know, these people that, you know, they're always quick to blame Tea Party right-wing people for all this stuff. But I would be, you know, the one, you know, the Timothy McVeigh that they point to. I don't know any conservative Tea Party group that would want to claim him.
Oh, no. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like they talk about like Timothy McVeigh being like an NRA member, except he, you know.
Except he was.
Well, he was for a little while. Then he relinquished his membership because and he was, you know, part of like some like militia groups and all that until they kicked his ass out for being a freak.
Yeah.
And all that. I mean, it's just the bottom line is, I mean, people are all quick to point to the, you know, talk about the politics of these freaks. But in the end, they're just freaks. Even, you know, even when you've got, you know, people like Chris Dorner and what's his face from the Navy Yard shooter, who you could really twist them into saying, oh yeah, they're a liberal Democrat, but yeah, no, they're just crazy.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's they're crazy, and the whatever politics they may or may not have don't matter.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Nor do they really make sense if you put it under a magnifying glass.
They don't. I mean, it's like what's his name, Hinckley, that you know. That wanted to shoot Reagan because he thought it would impress, you know, what's her name?
Jodie Foster.
Yeah, Jodie Foster. So, I mean, it's
who
like...
Who was gay anyway.
Yeah, I mean, dude, really?
Sorry.
Crazy. You can't argue with crazy. You can't, I mean, there's nothing you can do. So, anyway, before we get into the train wreck, let's talk about this since we're on the subject of, you know, anti-gun commies lying about guns. We've got these moms who apparently, and I'm really having a hard time understanding this group.
Is this a pre-music topic?
Actually, you know what? Let's go ahead and
That's what I thought.
It's not a pre. It's not a pre-music topic. Let's
Weird Beard knows this show.
Let's play this. Hey, all you Squirrel Report listeners! Thank you very much.
October 75th, 2025, here at the Squirrel Report.
Thursday, November 14th, 2013, episode number 81.
Yeah.
81.
Alan doesn't let me give the
you know, somebody asked on in Facebook on some place how many downloads between Vicious Circle and Squirrel Report there was. And I started, and I don't have any idea the exact number, but I started doing, you know, kind of a back of the envelope. You know, if we average X number of downloads a month times how, you know, 4 years or however long we've been doing this. And,
oh my God.
And I came up with like almost 850,000 downloads.
I was That's told there would up. Be no math.
Mad St. Jack asked that question.
Yes, he did.
And I'm sure he's listened to every episode.
He was trying to compare it to the Obamacare, you know, debacle, which is our next topic.
Well. Yeah.
I will say as the owner of and proprietor of weirdworld.com, it's worked ever since it was launched.
Yeah. Funny how that works. So anyway, before we get on that, there was this thing that's been going around a few times. And apparently this is some group of soccer moms or something against guns, and there's like four of them.
Yep.
That meet somewhere.
Four whole soccer moms against guns.
And apparently there's picture that's been going around.
I'd like to take them all shooting.
And it portrays, it's like taken from the side, and it looks, you know, it looks kind of intimidating from the side. It looks like these people are like lined up in a line ready to, you know, shoot somebody. But then you look at the picture, you look at the, you know, from the other perspective, and it's obvious they're posing for a group photo.
And it's also obvious that those pictures were taken within seconds of each other.
Oh yeah. I mean, the people, yeah, they're all standing in the same exact position in the same exact, you know, they may have been simultaneous, you know, because the people haven't moved from, you know, where they are. And so apparently this is the, you know, being anti-gun, they can't use facts. So they have to lie.
Well, I want to freaking rant about it is the fact that they talk about, you know, being, you know, harassed and threatened by gun owners. And
I totally
they never seem to realize is like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was with a bunch of pro gun people when the news about Sandy Hook broke. And our first reaction, as with every, you know, human being with blood in their veins, is, oh my God, this is horrible. This is just an absolute tragedy. This is the worst thing ever. But our second reaction is, oh my God, we've got to circle the wagons because they're going to blame it on us. And you got to realize, I mean, just how, you know, you can't even have a moment to mourn the dead because you realize that you're immediately going to be under attack and they're going to come for shit that has nothing to do with this. you know, oh, we need to have universal background checks because that guy shot and killed his mom and took her guns.
Right.
Because that'll work.
Sure.
You know, and whatever all this stuff. Takes. I mean, they are directly threatening us.
Yes, they are.
And I mean, we've got a lot to be concerned about with groups like these.
Well, as with most liberals, every time they point something at us, you know, the broad us, it's projection. I mean, they are projection. You know, when they talk about conservative or violence or Tea Party violence, it's projection because they are the violent ones. When they talk about aggression and attacking and stuff like that, it's projection because they are the ones that are doing all that.
Well, true. I mean, there were never any rape tents in Tea Party protests, you know, but Occupy protests, that became a huge issue. You know, weird, I had the opposite experience from you. And it wasn't with Sandy Hook, but it was with another mass shooting where I was with a bunch of kind of people who were not especially anti-gun, but kind of on the fence about guns, not really involved in the whole gun culture. But they knew that I was. And I can't remember what incident it was, but I remember I was at work. And something happened, and everybody kind of looked at me like, you know, what's Brito's response going to be? She likes guns, you know, kind of thing. And I make a point to not have a reaction, you know, because I can't go either way. You know, if I'm overly sympathetic, I'm, you know, they assume I'm being converted to their side. Oh, guns are terrible. But if I make a point of, well, you know, it was a gun-free zone, they think I'm cold-hearted. You know, and I think a lot of gun people have that kind of experience where you don't know what to say because you don't want to appear that you're, you know, kind of relinquishing your rights, but then at the same time, you don't want to appear like you don't care about the people who have died, which is completely not the truth. So you're kind of stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's just the thing is I remember me and some other people at this get together I was at where the TV was on going back and forth about the anti-gun people are going to try to push some sort of law through on this and all of that. And I'm just like, oh God, I mean, we kind of have to be talking about this because, I mean, that's exactly what happened. But at the same time, it's just one of those, oh, God, why can't we just sit back and just, you know, give our thoughts and prayers and, you know, and concerns to the people affected by this, you know, and not be under attack simply because we have absolutely nothing to do with this, with the exception of the fact that, I mean, we have nothing to do with this because we own guns. The shooter didn't own any guns.
Right. Well, in this culture, everything is so immediate. You know, everything is split second reaction to everything. We've got Twitter, we've got Facebook, we've got blogs, and everybody has an opinion, and it's all on the internet, and it's all happening so fast. And I mean, it really leads to bad reactions. You know, people don't wait. I mean, you see in the news all the time, you see in the media where they're releasing bad information. They don't know the facts before they're actually starting.
Well, they release nothing but bad information.
Right. They start putting stories out there. I don't know. I really do think I mean, I work with people who, when things like this have happened, they look at me and they kind of do a big sigh and they're like, oh, so many guns and everybody can get their hands on guns. And it's like this gun issue. And I'm just kind of sitting there like, you know, and I like my job sometimes and I want to keep my job. So I just kind of keep my counsel. You know, I don't say anything. So, but,
And you shouldn't have to, because you have again, you have nothing to fucking do with this.
No, and I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to, you know. It's I don't know, but you're right.
Go ahead.
It is like there is like too much instantaneous reaction to when something happens before we get the facts, before we even know what happened.
That's that part of that anti-gun playbook is just, you know, dive on the emotions and all that. So that, you know, when we say, well, that's bullshit, I have nothing to do with that, these laws have nothing to do with this event and all of that, we become cold-hearted. You know, right. And when we say, you know, look, you know, you've got places where they've succeeded in getting these gun control, you know, like my home state of Massachusetts, and it's not any safer at all. And there are places where they, you know, pretty much the rest of the country where they're relaxing the gun laws. And oddly enough, there's no blood in the streets. And oftentimes violent crime rates drop. People are safe. And, you know, even, you know, in places where, you know, people can go and get a carry permit without ever getting any training. And there's no problem with that. You've got to sound cold-hearted because sometimes reality is not true. I mean, it's just like, you know, how sometimes when, you know, if, you know, someone gets terminal cancer, they say, well, we can give you chemotherapy and you'll be throwing your guts up and you might get a few extra more weeks, or you could feel okay until the very end and die a little bit sooner. That's the better choice is sometimes not to fight. You know, there's the better choice is not the logical answer, you know, in that knee-jerk logical thing, you know, idea. A knee-jerk and logic shouldn't go together. That's entirely bad.
Well, that whole there's even it taking it more broad than the gun control thing. There's a huge there's a lot of laws get passed because they sound good. You know, school zones.
Mm-hmm.
Gun-free zones, anti-drug laws. I mean, the people pass this stuff with theoretically good intentions. I mean, let's give them I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They expect it to, or they hope it does something good, and then it turns out that, you know, in reality, it doesn't. And then, you know, we're stuck with it because. It's like then they start demagoguing the hell out of everything. Well, you want to get rid of school zones. You must want to, you know, children getting run over left and right in the streets. Well, no. Oh, you want people to be able to buy guns for mail order. You want blood in the streets. You want to be, you know, I mean, it's you want kids ordering guns from Sears catalog. It's just it's nonsensical bullshit.
Yep.
And yet. You know, that's the, you know, when anything happens there, it's, I blame the newspapers, you know, the media, because they'll, you know, it's like they got this weird moral equivalency thing going where, you know, oh, well, you know, I've got this lunatic who has, you know, makes no sense whatsoever, but I'm going to give them equal, quote, equal footing to the pro-gun person. And it I don't know, it's just weird.
And then to get,
you know,
back to that.
I really think that, and it's kind of a weird connection for me, but I've always kind of associated these sort of like social consciousness type things, like, you know, the anti-gun movement is really big, and even things like school zones and,
yes,
you know, little laws like that where they get passed and it becomes like a part of our culture, and all of a sudden this is the right thing, even though it's not exactly been proven to be correct, although it makes everybody feel good.
Yep.
It kind of has always seemed to me to be an extension of feminism. God, I can't believe I'm saying this. Okay. But there's this thing in feminism where they have always said the personal is political. And it began as part of the women's movement of being like against the nuclear family and, you know, women being in the home and having, you know, women's lib type thing. But it seems like it has migrated to other parts of, you know, the political spectrum where, you know, they're influencing social things that we all have to abide by. You know, it's like consciousness raising. Well, we don't want kids get hit by cars on their way to school, so we make school zones. And, you know, it's like this, it's like the nanny state thing, you know, yep. where, you know, we have to have like, you know, school lunches and they all have, all kids have to eat certain amount of food. And, you know, it's like this, it's this weird thing. And it kind of like, has also migrated into the anti-gun thing. And that's why the moms are so huge in this movement where, you know, it's, oh, it's for the children and, oh, moms, million mom march. And it's like this woman feminism thing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But also, and, except it's not. I mean, in the Texas well, it, group, I mean, I just posted a link to Joe Huffman just found USA Today was covering this story, and they actually released both photos, except they cropped the original photo. And, you know, I gotta say, I mean, just because of how they've uncovered it, I've gotta see this as intentional. The crop intentionally cuts out the women and children in the front row.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's several women there, and they just pretty much just crop them either well, that's, completely that's out of because, it or enough that you can't tell that it's a female.
Well, that's because, you know, to women's groups that are anti-gun, women who own guns and women who defend themselves with guns really aren't real women.
I was just going
to... You know, we're not real women.
No, you're not.
So, you know, I'm not... There's a lot of good things that feminism did in the 70s, and hooray for women getting out into the workforce, being able to do whatever they want to do, and hooray for that. But I think that politically, there were a lot of, like, side issues that got taken over by this personal is political thing, and it got absorbed into our culture and accepted as the right thing to do, like school lunches and guns are bad and school zones and, you know, you name it.
I wonder, but, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I that's my point is that, you know, there's like these women who think that they can make everything nice and they can make everything this utopia of women and children first and men are bad and guns are evil. But you can't force that. You know, it's like you can't
nope.
force that as part of policy. It's you can't change culture and society as, you know, by forcing policy. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, and it's part of the problem is it's like the gun thing. It, you know, at a certain point, it's obviously wrong. I mean, okay, so the women, so there's this rape culture thing, right? Where like all men are potential rapists. And, you know, it's like the gun thing where, you know, if gun owners were as bad as the anti-gun people portray us, we would shoot them all and we wouldn't have a problem anymore. If men were as bad as the feminists portray us, there wouldn't be a feminist movement because we'd have beat y'all, you know, we'd have beat the women back. All the men would have beat the women back into submission and that would be it. I mean,
right.
The very fact that they get to sit here and spout this crap proves that it's over. You know, it's like the NAACP or the, you know, I mean, this, the Jim Crow era is over. You know, anybody that's, I mean, sure, there are people that are racist, but there is not institutional racism in the United States anymore.
No.
It's no. over. It's gone. Well,
to be fair, there is institutional racism in America. But
yeah, but it's not. It's to
it's
white
black
males.
On, it's
yeah,
black on white racism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that's the good kind.
But, okay, but it's the same thing. Okay, look at, like, it's the same. It's almost like the March of Dimes problem, right? The March of Dimes was created to eliminate polio. Well, they did that. And instead of disbanding, they kind of went, oh, okay, we've got this great organization. We're getting, it's paying our salaries. People are donating money. What else can we do? You know, and so there's all these civil rights people and all these feminists that have made careers out of doing this stuff. And when you know, women, like Brita said, women can go to work. Women can do pretty much whatever they want. I mean, so what's a feminist going to do anymore except find new things to rail against, you know?
Right.
Yeah, there's all that moving of goalposts. I mean, you know, even with the rape culture, I mean, the definition of rape has changed drastically in the last, last 20, 30 years.
Yeah, apparently rape is now, morning regret. I regret getting drunk and screwing that guy.
I went to high school with a friend of mine in high school, and I'll say right now a former friend because this – guy was not the best guy on earth. He was a bit of a jerk. And I don't know, he's probably changed his life now, but, you know, Weird Beard holds grudges. and there's too many good people in the world for me to just forgive everybody.
Sure.
This guy had, as far as I can tell in knowing the guy, he had consensual sex with this girl. But he's a bit of a cad. And so after all was said and done, and, you know, he was bragging about having got with said lady, she then suddenly said, oh, wait, no, he raped me.
Oh.
And thankfully, she never went to the cops for it, probably because deep down inside she knew it was just, I'm going to say it was rape, and therefore my friends will rally behind me and, you know, be against this guy and all of this stuff. And that was really all she wanted. But, you know, it really bothered him for obvious reasons, and it bothered all of us who were friends with him and, you know, knew this person and, you know, had the general idea of what the hell went on, not that we were there. But it was one of those things that, but if she had decided to go to the cops, she could have easily tarred and feathered him, because the system does not work well for the, you made this up, you know, just ask Kobe Bryant.
Right.
Yes.
Well, you know, women like that, you know, I got to say that a lot of there's a lot of gray area when it comes to that, you know.
Yep.
He said, she said, there's a lot of gray area. But I think women who unjustly accuse men of rape really are only hurting real rape victims.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they make it harder for any other, you know, the next woman that comes forward and says, I was raped at a frat party.
Right.
Well, now everybody's like, oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you get high profile cases like the Kobe Bryant case, which is pretty obviously was just a gold digging morning after regret, you know, sort of situation was, you know. She got down with the big bad basketball star, and then after it was all said and done, realized that no, he wasn't going to leave his wife and he wasn't going to fall in love with her. And then suddenly said, well, I guess that means he raped me. And I mean, according to our society, good on her, because she's, you know, was not a type of person that was going to make a whole lot of money. And she made a whole lot of money off of this. Because they paid her a whole crap load of hush money after all the charges were dismissed, and there's still plenty of people that say that Kobe Bryant raped her, but most people can read the writing on the wall, and unfortunately, that gets a lot of people who say that they were raped. There's that little bit of doubt that goes in of the, well, is this rape, or is this just someone who's a gold digger who knows that rape is kind of a scarlet letter in our society, and, you know, whether you know, rape and racism and all that stuff, whether you did or didn't do it, all you need is someone to accuse you of it.
Yep.
And that's more than enough.
Mm-hmm. How did we get on this topic?
And to bring it back around full circle, it's just like these four women putting up this photo saying, oh yeah, these people were here to attack us and intimidate us.
What was that woman's name? Shannon, the
Shannon
leader
Watts.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, honey.
And yet,
you know, if you're that afraid, maybe you should carry a gun. That's all I have to say.
And also, I mean, you got to think about this. This is a woman from Illinois who was in Texas to rally against gun rights. She was she was there to attack them. This was an offensive political action, and there's nothing wrong with offensive political actions, but, you know, let's call a spade, is no, they were not there to intimidate you. They were there to stand up for what, you know, for what, you know, little amount of open carry they have in Texas. And, I mean, this was a straight up attack, and no, it's not that way. It was completely the other way around. You were the aggressor. And, you know, I can easily say that and go out because no one got hurt. No one got hurt, and I really have my doubts of anybody ever even felt intimidated or scared.
Well, the proof is that if they were out there to intimidate her, then she'd have known it.
Yeah. And also, to be fair, I mean, I'm a dude with a whole ton of guns, and I got accused of, you know, being part and party to killing the TSA agent. And they did it just in an open forum. What? Obviously, if I was as dangerous and violent, as horrible as that is, I'd track him down and shoot him. And I'm not! And I don't want to, and I don't care! It was so amusing, I posted it on my fucking blog. But that's the reality of it, is if gun owners were as dangerous and scary as the anti-gun people say, there wouldn't be any anti-gun people, because they'd all be dead.
Nope. And sometimes I wonder.
Yeah, and the same thing is if the America had as much institutional racism and all of that, or rape culture or all that, there wouldn't be any NAACP, and there wouldn't be any feminist movement, because they operate right out in the open. They don't have to hide. You know, they've got all this public things, and we are perfectly content to let them do that. And I am fine with these groups carrying on and doing what they're doing.
Well, there's so much in this country invested in the victim culture, is that if you're a victim, if you have something to, you know, cry about, you get all this attention, and you can potentially get money, and you can potentially get benefits, and, oh, you know, all this stuff.
Unless your money and benefits were cut off by the government. Segway!
Yeah. Ooh, nice.
Although not.
Yeah, no, those people aren't real victims, because they lost healthcare that was just really shitty and horrible.
Well, okay, I found this very interesting.
Do we have any call in topic or anything tonight? Or
well, call in people. Call in
if anybody wants to say anything. Call in.
Yes. 214-530-0036.
Yeah, this is a target rich environment. We don't need to flesh out.
People.
Yeah. No, the guy who is known as the father of Obamacare, basically, this
Millard Mitt Romney?
No, this MIT economist guy.
Named Millard Mitt Romney?
No, Jonathan Gruber said today, I think it was today, you know, yesterday. This is what he said on, I don't know where.
But he said it.
Anyway, he said, we currently have a highly discriminatory system where if you're sick or you've been sick, you can't get health insurance.
Right.
The only way that discriminatory system to end that discriminatory system is to bring everyone into the system and pay one fair price. That means that the genetic winners, the lottery winners who've been paying an artificially low price because of this discrimination, will now pay more in return. That is the guy who's the so-called father of Obamacare. He was involved in designing it. There is so much wrong with that.
Especially when you look at the quote unquote fair price.
Well, first off, the reason that people who are sick or have been sick can't get insurance is because you can't insure something that's not a random possibility in the future.
Right.
If I have cancer, I can't go out and get health insurance to cover my cancer. Well, I used to not be able to. I still can't because I can't log in into the system. But
you could always talk to that to your kindly neighborhood felon.
Right. The whole point is that the insurance is a risk pool for things that are a possibility, but a remote possibility.
When you get in a car accident, you do not call up the insurance company and say, "Hey, can I have insurance now?"
Right.
Exactly. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But that's not fair, Brita.
So
I don't care.
This whole idea that there's this like these genetic winners it pays right into that victim mentality that Brita was talking about. Hey, we have people calling in.
Okay.
Let's see what we got here. I'm going to take one. This is, I think this is Dennis. Hello? Uh-oh.
Hello?
Hello, Dennis. You there? Can you hear me?
That's good.
Uh-oh.
Who is this? Is it Dennis?
Yep. Hello, Dennis.
I don't think this is Dennis.
Oh, who is this?
Who is this?
Wrong area code, Alan.
Oh, it's Jay.
Oh, it's Jay.
978. I don't know. I don't know what area codes are. What?
Because you said Dennis, so I'm like, oh, okay, Dennis is ahead of me. So you're
no,
like talking.
It was.
Who are you?
Probably.
Dennis was on the display, Dragon Leatherworks, and I hit accept, and it flipped to you right when I was hitting the button. So,
say insurance again, Alan.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, don't put me on the spot.
Let's be mean to Alan.
What, insurance? You want me to say Akern and Winda, too?
Yeah. Hi, Jay. How are you?
Hi, Rita. Hi, Weird. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Jay.
How is it in America, Jay?
It's pretty damn cool, I got to tell you.
Good.
You know, it's funny. I keep seeing all these things that I can own now. Sorry, Weird.
You haven't bought a gun yet?
I'm not officially a Virginia resident.
Oh, you haven't switched your license yet?
Oh, man.
Fuck that noise. How many PMAGs have you bought, Jay? Yeah.
A couple.
Jay didn't buy a mattress. He just bought a stack of PMAGs and a comforter.
And he's sleeping on them.
I sleep on a pallet of PMAGs. They tend to want you to have a fixed address before they give you a driver's license. Silly thing.
But, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, we're working on that.
Oh, Jay, I gotta say, I've been reading the reviews for this latest crop of AR-10 style guns, like the Smith & Wesson M&P-10 and the Ruger SR 7.62, and oh my god, I want one so bad, and there's no way I can get magazines for them.
Yeah.
Oh, Jay, use your powers for awesome and get yourself one of those.
Get you that way, you know, you should be able to block something. But I think Smith & Wesson's got 10 rounders for the MP10. I know they are coming out with a band compliant model.
Well, they've got band compliant models for both of these. I mean, both Ruger and Smith & Wesson are very, very friendly to us poor bastards behind the wire, but I don't want 10 round magazines.
Yeah, well, there's a problem there.
Yeah, no, I want those bitchin' 10 round 7.62 Magpul PMAGs. They're pretty. And they're waffly.
And they're plastic.
You better stick with 10 rounders because that ammo ain't cheap.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's like my dirty little secret is I kind of like prefer 10 rounders because otherwise I go through too much money.
You don't have to load them all the way up like if you just go into the range, but in the event that, you know, Occupy, you know, insert your street here, shows up in your in your area, you damn well want, you know, don't want 10 round mags.
Oh, I know. That's why I have multiple guns. Duh.
Okay.
So anyway, Obamacare. I'm thinking we should get a pool going and see how many statistics we can come up with, as in like X number of people more signed up for that, you know, Y than Obamacare. You know, like I'm thinking, like, do NICS checks. How many more? How many orders of magnitude more NICS checks were done since the beginning of October than people successfully signed up for Obamacare. How many more black rifles were purchased since the start of Obamacare than people signing up for Obamacare?
Well, I mean, even better is just, I mean, how many of these people that have quote-unquote signed up for Obamacare have even signed up for Obamacare? I mean, Reason Magazine did a great little piece where they were showing that most of the people that quote-unquote signed up for Obamacare were just people that, like, managed to log in, which is quite a feat in itself, but all they did was they put a healthcare plan in their shopping cart. They didn't necessarily order it and or pay for it. So, did they get the insurance? So I don't know.
So by their reckoning, about 900 million people are getting 60-inch flat-screen TVs for Christmas.
That's right.
Everybody's cart on Amazon. I don't even think 100,000 people actually got through.
And
I, I'll put on my tinfoil hat for a minute here. I'm not entirely sure that the Obamacare website debacle was not by design.
Because that's a fair statement. I mean, they've been trying to delay this as long and as hard as they can.
Millions of people got on and clicked through and went to check out and realized that, holy shit, my healthcare costs are tripling and it's a crappier plan. There'd be torches and pitchforks. You see recalls like Colorado. If all of a sudden people are like, wait a minute. You know, I have to take this plan because I got dumped even though they told me I wouldn't. Now it's going to cost me three times as much and my deductible's higher and I can't see the doctors I want and this is like 100 times worse than what I had.
And some of these deductibles are terrifying. I mean, I'm seeing like $5,000 deductibles and all that. It's one of those... Just fucking put some money in the bank and let it earn interest.
Well, the other side of that nasty little thing is that they eliminated all catastrophic health care plans.
Right.
So you've got these outrageously high deductibles, and then they don't cover shit. So I mean, you used to be able to buy a plan that had a crazy high, had like a $10,000 deductible. And didn't pay for your doctor visits and all, but if you got, if you had to go to the hospital, it covered.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And most people
Which really, if you are between the ages of, 18 and 40, and you don't have a history, like a family history or a genetic profile, that's all you need.
Yep.
You do not need a soup to nuts $20 deductible health care that will pay for every little thing. You need the... Holy shit, I got in a car wreck and I ran up a $50,000 hospital bill.
Yep.
That's when you need something.
And that's what insurance is for. That's what it's supposed to be for.
Right. Instead, it's oh boy, I get free birth control pills so I can be a fucking whore. I'm sorry. Whoever came up with that ad campaign deserves to be public square every goddamn day.
I love Rita's comment on Facebook. What was the one? Oh, crap. About that.
What?
Help me, Rita.
There were many.
The one about the ad.
If you voted for someone else to pay for your birth control, don't be surprised if they start treating you like a whore.
Yeah, that one.
Well, it's like this thing of personal accountability, I mean, birth control is so that you can have sex without certain amount of consequences. And that's up to you, man. Like, that's your thing. I don't want to pay for your thing.
Right.
And I don't think people should be asked to even pay for other people's thing. Come on.
Yep. And if you oppose that, you are part of the war on women. You want to take away their birth control.
Yeah.
That is infuriating. That whole, just because I don't want government to pay for your birth control means I'm against it. No, you can have all the goddamn birth control you want. You pay for it. That's your choice to engage in that behavior.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like, and it's not like the pill costs, $1,000 a month. And it's not right. like there aren't other options that are much less expensive.
Right. And well, you know the thing that the argument I've heard is that paying for other people's birth control is cheaper than paying for their progeny.
And that's true, but you know what's even cheaper than all that? Sterilization.
Yes. I agree.
There we go. You know what? Not you, Brita, but if they want to go down that path, fine. Step right over here. We got the tubal ligator automatic drawn right here.
Or you know what's even cheaper than that is not thinking that we have to pay for their fucking progeny.
There you go.
I mean that's just the bottom line is we've got this endless slippery slope of, you know, oh well we need to, you know, have helmet laws because people are gonna get motorcycle accidents and you're gonna have to pay for their injuries, which of course obviously is worse if they're wearing a helmet, but that's beside the point. But, you know, the bottom line is that, so why are we paying for their injuries?
Right. I know.
You know. Yeah, if you want to say, hey, you know, just, actually, I just heard my father was telling me a close friend of his was visiting their daughter's studying abroad in Germany, and they went over to visit her, and they got their rental car. And in the rental car agreement says, if you're driving on the Autobahn, if you exceed such and such speed, your insurance is null and void.
Hmm. Wow.
You know, and sort of thing. So it's one of those, the Autobahn has no speed limit. Well, it's got speed limits in a couple of places now because there's nannies over in Germany too. But, you know, there's speed limits in some places. But some of the insurance people say once you get above a certain speed that they decide is a dangerous speed, they're not covering you. So they're just going to say, hey, drive whatever speed you want. You know, if it's legal, do it. But just don't expect us to be around if you're, you know, if you've got your Porsche 911 twin turbo pegged.
That's right.
Well, people who are signing up for Obamacare are going to start having to deal with those sorts of penalties. You know, there's big penalties if you're a smoker in Obamacare.
That's ironic, because Obama is a smoker.
Well, but you know what I mean?
He says,
it's like,
quit, Jay.
What? Yeah.
When the government is paying for you, they're allowed to make the rules. So I think people are going to start recognizing, hey, wait a minute.
That kind of falls under the whole, you know, my house, my rules thing, right?
Yeah.
FDA is now looking at New Yorkifying the entire country. No more trans fat. Mm. Guess what? Get ready for that soda ban to be nationwide, folks.
Yep, and they'll do it the same. They'll do this, use the exact same reasoning.
Exactly. It's bad for you. It drives up health care costs.
Yep.
Since we're paying for your health care, we own you.
That's right. Which is probably the goal all along.
Yeah, probably nothing. Absolutely,
go
along. That's how you get control.
Yep. Hey.
Oh, by the way, I gotta interrupt real quick. Speaking of bad for you, I want to share this with everyone because I know you guys are amused by this. I just had myself an epiphany one day, and I decided to bring it to fruition. I am right now drinking black cardamom vodka. It is awesome.
Now I know what cardamom is. And I know what vodka is, but I don't understand black cardamom.
Black cardamom is a seed pod that is similar but entirely unrelated to the green cardamom plant that is the traditional cardamom.
Sounds racist.
And it's got a much more intense and a much more smoky.
Hmm.
I would actually say the thing that always comes to mind is a tarry type flavor in like a pitch tar sort of thing, where it's kind of a little bit tiny and rich.
Oh.
And smoky.
Well, you like gin, so what the hell do you
know? I'm making a face.
Yeah, I am too. Ugh.
Oh, it's good. It's good. I don't know if it'll make I don't know if it'll make a good martini, but it's tasty.
I like cardamom, but I don't know about this tar flavor.
Thanks for calling, Jay.
Well, it's more like anyone who's ever cut down a pitch pine tree knows what I'm talking about.
Yep.
All right. I'm not a lumberjack.
We got another caller.
Okay.
This is Bradley.
Yay, Bradley!
Pecan, 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 pecan.
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 Even I say pecan. Good Lord.
Pecan. What
the hell's wrong with you?
You're in Texas. You're wrong, Alan.
Do they say pecan in Hawaii? Is that where you got it?
I have no idea what they say there. That's what I said it that way in Georgia to piss off.
They say, go away, you fucking Hallie, in Hawaii.
Yes.
Macadamia.
I must say that in Maine, they do say you eat pecan pie, but I don't like the delicious, yummy pie being a pecan, so as in a can of pea, so I do say pecan.
The real reason I called was I found it was hilarious in this whole ACA debate and everything. They're talking, if you have a pre-existing condition, they can't deny you. And they're right. But if what you have is wrong with you is not one of the 10 golden things that has to be covered, they'll give you insurance, but they still won't cover your pre-existing condition.
Oh, good point.
So what's the point of not being denied if they can still go, oh, yeah, we'll cover for everything else except for that big, really expensive thing. You're still screwed.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with these gazillion dollar deductibles. It's one of those things of, you know, I was telling my wife, I was saying, Jesus Christ, if we ever get stuck with one of these, you know, $5,000 deductible costs, fuck it. Let's go without insurance and just put a little bit of money aside.
It's cheaper.
And essentially create our own insurance thing, as we've got our own little, you know, our own little betting pool for, you know, well, hopefully there'll be enough money in this account that if one of us gets seriously ill, there'll be enough to cover the costs of it. I mean, yep. It's the same idea, you know, and it's earning interest for us, and we're not paying a fee to maintain it. You know, but she was saying, well, you know, a lot of people don't have the, you know, the money and the financial discipline to set money aside. And I'm like, yeah, well, they don't have enough fucking money to pay a $5,000, you know, if they get in a car accident and they need to have a broken leg set and it's $4,000, they're not going to have that amount of cash sitting around. So, I mean, what's the fucking point? What's it doing?
Well, and I'm in exactly that spot. They raised my insurance premiums by literally a new car payment because I was looking at buying a truck. And the truck payment is now added on to my pre-existing health care insurance when that kicks over on January 1st. And I went from $500 deductibles to $6,500. And it's like, holy crap, my co-pays have tripled. It's like, and of course, I make just enough money to not get a single dime of, you know,
of course.
At all.
The new Veritas video undercover.
That's
the trick,
right?
Is what you do is don't claim your income.
You're supposed to lie.
Yeah, it's supposed to lie. You know, the only thing I would be lying about is I really don't smoke.
You know, and oh God, I mean, the thing, you know, this could go 27 different directions. Yeah. You know, you got, you know, ignoring the whole website bullshit, the whole Obamacare plan can't possibly work. I mean, it's doomed to failure from the start, because
right,
there's no way that enough young, healthy people are going to voluntarily spend that much money for health insurance they don't need, that, you know, in order to cover the old and poor people. I mean, it's just not going to work. You know, on top of that, you got this disaster of a web thing created by the same company that did the catastrophically bad Canadian gun registry that never worked.
And the diabetic registry for Nova Scotia
that didn't work.
It's got a history of failure.
Yeah.
Diabetics in Novi? Gross.
Hey, you know, you got to keep an eye on those diabetics, all right?
You know. Oh, man, you might have diabetes.
But, you know, there's this whole other angle that's not getting much play, is the security around this thing is horrible. You know, there are already security breaches of this thing. We're, you know, and the only reason there aren't any worse is because the hackers can't get into it either. It won't stay up enough to get hacked.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
But now, the minute it does, you know it's going to get trashed. I mean, can you imagine the target this thing's going to be for every East German, you know, hacker? It's going to be ridiculous.
And then on top of that, you've got the gatekeepers or whatever the hell they're called. You know, Vince Clotho. these gatekeepers that are, I mean, so many of them are just these, you know, complete reprobates.
Navigators.
Yeah, the navigators.
They're just the acorn people.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Oh, do you still have that one coming into the library, Brita?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Nobody knows what the hell they do because they're damn sure not signing people up for insurance.
Yeah, we're not sure. Well, I was told they are using the website, except I don't believe them. They sit there for like 4 hours a week and they help people sign. I'm making air quotes with my fingers, sign up for the health insurance. And I asked my manager, I said, well, how are they doing that? If the website doesn't work, how are they? And I heard that they had been using paper forms, but then apparently they've been trying to use the website. And they have been coming for, oh gosh, at least a month now, you know, a couple times a week, a couple hours a week, you know, that sort of thing. And they've managed to sign up two people.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Two people.
That's probably all that signed up in your state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I have nothing to do with it. You
and
know,
again,
it's not my job.
You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know who the people are at your place, but there's already been a bunch of, like, you know, convicted felons and general people that I wouldn't let into my house, and yet they're getting these people's personal information,
social security numbers,
and you got to think about. I mean, number, you know, these people are not, you know, the high and mighty, you know, white knights and all of that, and they're getting these, you know, especially if they're getting paper forms. Think about the cash value of those paper forms.
Oh, yeah.
When someone wants to either start a fake identity or open up a line of credit under a false name or all that.
Or huge get an IRS cash return. Value.
Yeah. How long before these people are going to, I mean, and by how long, you know, how long ago was the first time when someone sold this shit off?
I'd be surprised if it hadn't already happened.
That's what I mean. I guarantee it's already happened. They just, maybe they haven't found out yet. Because someone doesn't realize that, you know, they just recently bought, you know, an entire apartment block in Guam.
Yep.
I could use an apartment block in Guam.
So could I.
It's gonna be nice warm, block. But I want to get there before the island tips over.
Yeah.
Well played.
Gotta watch out for that.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, thanks for calling.
Good night, Bradley.
Bye.
I wanted to take a moment real quick because I was just looking at this. I was just looking at the streaming thing and the looking at where people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's not that many people. There's only 18 people listening right now, but it's Miami, Florida, Ocala, Florida, Pooler, Georgia. I don't know where that is. Tucson, Arizona, North Chelmsford, Massachusetts, Gainesville, Virginia, Scottsdale, Arizona, Columbia, South Carolina, Miamisburg, Ohio, Shelby, North Carolina, Houston, Texas, Bennettsville, South Carolina, Alexandria, Kentucky, Hobbs, New Mexico. I know where Hobbs is. Another one in Houston, Birmingham, Alabama, New York. Ooh, I bet that's Ying.
In
Vienna, Virginia. So,
I hope Miami is Miguel.
Radis says Miami is him.
Ah,
People are going, "That's me, that's me."
It's like Romper Room.
Yeah, I remember.
I see Johnny and I see Betty. Yeah,
and I see you.
I want some Romper Stompers.
Oh man. Oh, I made some of those out of cans when I was like 5. Cans and some rope. Clump, 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 clump.
Yeah. When I was that age, Alan, we didn't have cans that could support human weight.
Yeah, you did. Damn it. Hate you all.
Alan made him out of cans from his Korean War rations.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Alan's making the face.
I am making the face.
What, Alan? Come on. You know, we just had Veterans Day, and I'd like to thank you for your service.
Don't. I'm not a veteran.
In the War of 1812.
I never went anywhere and never did anything.
So. Spanish-American War.
We turned them windmills upside down and turned them into derricks.
Oh, gosh.
Damn you, kids. Yeah, we're out of time.
We are out of time.
Thank God. All right, peoples.
Alan's going to take his Metamucil.
Thank you. Thank you for listening once again. And if you're
Alan needs his fiber, otherwise he won't be regular.
If you listen to us downloading, then thank you. You're one of the almost a million people that have listened to the Score Report. I kind of do, and I kind of don't want to go back and add up all, because I have all the logs.
No,
I could do it.
It's called math.
I know. Well, I could automate it. I mean, I could write a...
Yes, you could, but don't.
I could write a script to do it.
That's called
work.
Just
make up the numbers. It's like the new thing now. You just make up numbers,
that's right.
Obama's
that's right.
You know what?
It, right?
I can have you. You can buy. What is it like? You can buy Twitter followers, like $5 for 10,000 Twitter followers.
We'll just get Nancy Pelosi to say our numbers, and it'll be automatically five times.
Yeah.
What the actual numbers are.
We can use Democrat math.
Right. There you go. Most popular podcast.
20
on the
million downloads a month.
Yes.
We are rock.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, y'all. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.
Night.